Shalom Yehudim, shalom Bnei Noach, shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Beis Pasivan, Parshas Naso, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 9 June 2016, webcasting from the ever-bleeding Holy Land, with slaughtering Jews at random, is considered holy by their mortal enemies, the Muslims. Last night in Tel Aviv, the latest slaughter. Four dead, more than double that wounded, scores of people in shock. The Israeli authorities say the number of Jews murdered since last October has now reached 38. And if so, we must thank Hashem for this very low number. Murdering Jews is an act of piety for the enemies of Hashem, father of Abraham, the kindest man on earth. And that the number is this low after all these weeks, well, it's not the intifada that we knew starting in the year 2000. They said, the reporters last night, that a half a dozen towns in Arab Judea and Samaria saw dancing in the street last night on news of the massacre. Candy was being handed out in celebration. I think it's in their blood. All totalitarian peoples hate the Jews, Nazis, communists, and Muslims, whose ideology cannot accommodate an independent Jewish resurrection in the Jews' ancient, biblically promised homeland. The Koran explicitly commands the payment of the jizya tax by the Jewish community in order to practice their religion, and always even then with restrictions, as punishment for refusing to convert to Islam, the one true correct religion. Renewed Jewish independence with Jerusalem in Jewish hands is Islamically intolerable. And this has been evident from the opening of the Paris Peace Conference in January 1919 that led to the creation of the League of Nations, the organization that mandated the UK to midwife a jurisdiction called Palestine that the Arabs never knew. And that mandate also described the historic homeland of the Jewish people. The resistance of the Muslims, of Haj Amin, their leader, and fellow Muslims in Jerusalem was wholly Islamic in character and remained so into the 1960s. Only then did they dream up this pseudo-nationalist myth of a previously unheard-of nation of Palestinians to replace the religious vocabulary they used for 40 years. And the rest is history. But what I think really drives these murderers, like the two last night, who one report said had disguised themselves as Hasidic Jews, is a spirit even older than Islam. It's the spirit of Ham, who was born and lived before the Great Flood. Islam only partially tamed these Hamitic, antediluvian wild men. Islam took them from worshipping stones and trees and rocks and jinn to the Jewish idea of one unseen God, but then their pre-existing spirit overcame the monotheism of Avraham. And what emerged is this merciless obsession with violence, with spilling blood and killing people. You got to be one messed up dude in your head to tell yourself how great it would be to murder as many Jews as you can in the knowledge that you'll probably be killed too. That's a thought I myself cannot wrap my mind around. It's something apparently unique to Muslims. Think of pharaonic Egypt when Pharaoh spent his lifetime building his own tomb. One of that culture's relics is Egyptian Book of the Dead. And here we have this repetitive behavior all over the Middle East of suicide bombers. And suicide bombers basically are murderers like those two cousins last night who survived, one did at least, firing their homemade machine guns. 9/11 was a colossal act of mass murder by suicidal maniacs, as was that young German pilot last winter who flew his plane into a mountainside. In the West, what he did made of himself a psychopath in people's eyes, a madman, criminally insane, off his rocker, you name it. But in Islam, such men are heroes. Such man is a holy man. He's a martyr for Islam when he murders lots of people and dies in the process himself. On Tuesday, officially Muslim Bangladesh, an elderly Hindu priest was just walking down the road when he became the target of three Muslims cruising by on a motorcycle who swarmed him and hacked him to death. ISIS took credit for the murder, and this was 2 days after a 60-year-old Christian grocer in that same country was also hacked to death on Sunday, I think, after church services. Over the last 18 months, there have been more than two dozen such attacks in Bangladesh against non-Muslims by homicidal Muslim maniacs. YNetNews.com, out of character for its website, took notice today of how the major news companies last evening and today ran coverage of the hell on earth last night in Tel Aviv. CNN, Sky, BBC, The Guardian, Telegraph, The New York Times, all of them uniformly not mentioning Islam and referring to shooters, but not terrorists. No mention of the religion, the ideology behind their deed. All they wrote of a shooting in Tel Aviv. Well, truth be told, CNN did write of terrorists, but put it in quotes. I point out in my book how this practice evolved in the 1970s, when the PLO was riding high and not above threatening murder to Western journalists if they did not like the journalist reportage. So at some point, I think in the 1970s, the New York Times stopped writing of terrorists without quotes and started putting them in. Only with the birth of the Phantom Palestinians was that practice adopted. Israel might call them terrorists, but when the Times quoted them, made sure to put it in quotes so the reader did not confuse who said it, not the Times reporter, but the Israeli government. The Telegraph ran the following headline, quote, three people killed in Tel Aviv shooting near Israeli Defense Ministry. We know that three people, were they Jews? We don't know. Were killed in Tel Aviv, and we have no idea who did the shooting in this telling. It could have been, according to this language, a gangland hit. Who knows what it was? And the New York Times ran the headline, Palestinian gunman opened fire in Tel Aviv. No, not only is there absolutely nothing about these shooters that is Palestinian, they don't speak the indigenous language of Palestine, Hebrew. Their religion's holiest city that they bow down to five times a day is not in Palestine. No, these were Muslims. And their targets were not Israelis, but Jews. Fox News was the only major outlet to use the word terror in its headline. This is, I think, another example of the same psychodynamics in work in Paris in January 2015 when Charlie Hebdo was turned into a human abattoir and Jews that week in the Hyper Caché were murdered. The French displayed their true colors. Besides the tricolor, there's also the yellow color that should have been on that flag. They tried to make a distinction between the two horrors, which is why Prime Minister Netanyahu was absolutely right to force his way into the front row. They had not set a place for him. Same dynamic. It's terror in Brussels and it's terror in Paris, but it's not terror here. Here it's a national struggle for independence by an impoverished third world people that have no fighter jets, they have no tanks, only homemade bombs and weapons to resist their occupiers. That's not terror, that's freedom fighting. Coincidentally today, the National Review website posted a piece by one Robin Simcox writing on this practice of not calling Islamic terrorism, but violent extremism. Simcox says it began in 2005 when the UK, following the suicide bombings in London that July, came up with this verbal camouflage that later crossed the Atlantic and became Obama's preferred Orwellian deceit. You know, Fort Hood had nothing to do with Islam. Violent extremism. There's even a government office of violent extremism studies or something. So last night, the world reported on what it wanted to see. Not Jew killing by Muslims, who cannot tolerate the Jews being free and enjoying life. The target last night was the new Sarona outdoor mall type of modern town square. Restaurants, cafes, shops. This is how I imagine the neighborhood around the Bataclan nightclub was in Paris last November 13th. 130 dead. Young people at their leisure in the evening, men and women in mixed company. That's something Muslims cannot deal with. I think what is at work here for them is their chronic homicidal envy of Jews and Westerners in general, who can be as relaxed as they are in these situations. Their target last night was a pleasant summer evening for people enjoying good food and company. And along came these homicidal maniacs whose religion goads them to carry out such satanic acts of evil. But as I started to say before, the death toll since last Rosh Hashanah, 8 months now, 38 dead, and for that we must thank Hashem. This is a vast improvement, and it's been made because every night in Judea and Samaria, our heroic police and army arrest potential killers, murderers, which we could not do if we retreated and returned Judea and Samaria to our rule. We actually tried that, didn't we, starting in 1994, but it didn't work out so well. We retreated, hand over Area A, and what we got starting in 2000 was a wave of satanic massacres. So we had to, in 2002, retake what we had turned over. And to this day, our forces go anywhere, whenever they deem necessary. They arrest anybody, not at random, but based on intelligence reports, which means we are sovereign in Judea and Samaria. The ultimate police authority, and no sober Israeli government is ever going to surrender that freedom to go wherever we want, to ride herd on this horde of Ishmaelites in these hills who think that it's just great to be murdering Jews and then flying off to paradise.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin ot deshe yarbitzeini, על מי מנוחות ינהלני. נפשי ישובב ינחני, במעגל צדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא יירא רע. כי אתה עמדי. שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי, נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים. לאורך ימים. מזמור לדוד,
מזמור.
השם רואי לא יחסר,
לא יחסר.
בנאות דשא ירביצני, על מי מנוחות ינהלני. נפשי ישובב ינחני, במעגל צדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא יירא רע, כי אתה עמדי. תנאי נאי 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 Da-nai, na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, na-na-na-na-na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, da-nai, na-na-nai, da-nai, na-nai, na-nai, da-nai, na-na-nai, na-nai, na-na-nai, da-nai, na-nai, na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai. שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי, נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים. לאורך ימים, דנאי נאי נאי נאי, דנאי נאי נאי, דנאי נאי נאי נאי, נאי נאי נאי, כי אתה עימדי. אתה עימדי. אתה עימדי. אתה עימדי.
There was an excellent example on Monday of the enemy's success in getting the world to see moral equivalence between our self-defense and the attacks of our aggressors. In this construction of reality, moral equivalence rules. It is a conflict in which both sides are equally culpable for the absence of peace, which, to my way of thinking, is a form of anti-Semitism, however genteel. So in Washington on Monday, in one of those so-called conferences organized by one of those self-appointed Jewish organizations, in this case the American Jewish Committee, calling together, convening their AJC Global Forum, it was just another podium for some movers and shakers to express themselves. In this case, one of them was National Security Advisor Susan Rice, joined by EU Czarina of Foreign Affairs Federica Mogherini. It was Rice, though, who was a textbook specimen of sotto voce State Department anti-Jewism. In her address, she said the U.S. strongly opposes Israeli settlement activity, just as we oppose counterproductive Palestinian actions and strongly condemn incitement and violence. What an interesting use of language. The Palestinians are not directly accused of any violence. Their actions are called here counterproductive. And after that, there is this milquetoast rebuke that not necessarily links them to what Rice condemns as incitement and violence. In any case, by what moral calculus does this woman, does anyone, compare Jews building homes, settlement activity, on barren hilltops, displacing no one, with the violence Rice refers to here, which is murder, as we saw last night? How can one compare settlement activity with the kind of demoniacal horror we saw for the umpteenth time in Tel Aviv last evening? And while I'm at it, focused on Susan Rice, she resorted to an old misquote, or rather something taken out of context from the Torah, that non-religious Jews particularly like to do. Rice spoke of her Jewish girlfriends in growing up and being invited to the family Passover Seder, and, quote, "All my life I've been inspired by the deep morality of the Jewish faith, by the simplicity and urgency of the command in Deuteronomy, tzedek tzedek tirdof, justice, justice you shall pursue," close quote. For sure, her audience smiled at the flattery there. But I'll bet no one in attendance, certainly not her, knows the continuation. There are 12 words in that verse, and she quotes only the first three. It goes on, Tzedek tzedek tirdof, Lema'an tichye v'yarashta et ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. Which means, justice, justice you shall pursue, so that you will live and possess the land that Hashem your God gives you. This is Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20. In other words, I've lost count of the times over the years I've heard someone like Rice, Jews and Gentile alike, cite these first three words of this 12-word verse in the context of wagging a finger at Israel for its unjust treatment of the ancient ones, unaware that justice, justice leads to taking possession of this land that God gives to us, which is not an easy thing. The Israelites followed Joshua over Jordan in the year 1273 BCE, and it took more than four centuries, as the age of the judges, for the Israelites to congeal as a unified nation worthy of a king. It is justice, justice for the Jews to take possession of this land that God gives us, the children of Jacob, Israel. Instead, we get the Susan Rices of our world who think the expression requires Israel to hand over to those claiming to be the seed of the Philistines and the Canaanites. But returning to her ritualistic, if polite, anti-Israel State Department bashing, Israel bashing, she concluded by praising the great friendship between American people and the people of Israel. Israel was not alone, she said, when Hamas digs tunnels to kidnap and kill Israelis, when it is singled out at the UN, and when voices attack Israel's right to exist, and by the same token, when Palestinians are attacked by mobs shouting death to Arabs, and Palestinian homes and mosques and churches are vandalized, the Palestinian people are also not alone. Close quote. This is grade A anti-Semitism underneath. Again, this stomach-churning moral equivalence between, in this case, she says, by the same token, she compares a tunneling in order to kidnap Jews with a handful of stupid teenagers with spray paint cans scrawling graffiti on the side of a mosque. And where does she get this image of mobs attacking Arabs and shouting death to Arabs? When? Where? This moral equivalence between Jews and Muslims here in Judea and Samaria is simply sickening. In a better world, the Nobel Prize for Peace would be awarded to us, the settlers who live in Judea and Samaria, for our breathtaking forbearance and restraint. Any other nation so brutalized periodically as we are would not stand for it. It's amazing that after all these attacks, some Jewish community does not organize a mob bearing weapons, carrying pitchforks like in the Frankenstein movies, the peasants angry with torches raiding Arab towns to smash it, to smash them, and by the way, that was a tactic occasionally used by Haganah. Not often, but it did happen. What Israel might do is hire some English Jew reading history in some British university to research at Kew, where the archives are, the behavior of the British here in the 1930s and how they handled the kind of violence we are subjected to. They had already, since 1915 in Ireland, used some of the same tactics with the IRA that they used here and we learned from, including blowing up houses of convicted terrorists. I think Israel already has blown up the homes of those two devils from last night. The British would cordon off a whole village if only one of the wild-ass teenagers inside had caused trouble.
Ano, Avedo de Kudisha Berichu, 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 Ano. 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 Hayavedo de Kudisha Berichu, Ano. Avedo de Kudisha Berichu, Ano. Avedo de Kudisha Berichu, Ano. Avedo de Kudisha Berichu, Ano. Hayavedo de Kudisha Berichu, Ano. Avedo 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 de Kudisha Berichu.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. On Tuesday, on the one hand, it was good news, in the short term, if not the long, that the American Anthropological Association voted, that is, half of its members voted, with the slimmest majority, not to boycott Israeli anthropologists and their work. It was good news, but also bad for the almost 4,800 votes cast. Only 39 votes separated the anti-Israel from the pro-Israel groups. On the one hand, good. On the other, bad for being an example of thinking in American academia these days when it comes to Israel. Israel is the bad guy, the Western imperialist, the colonialist, the oppressor of a non-white third world people. The world is spinning off its intellectual axis, I believe. Consider as well a news item out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, home to Harvard and MIT, and the whole Boston area as the quintessential college town. The Washington Times reported yesterday that it was voted unanimously in the Cambridge, Mass. City Council to no longer call the second Monday in October Columbus Day, but Indigenous Peoples Day. According to a reporter, Douglas Ernst, the officials call him a monster. They say his landfall on October 12th, 1492, should be scorned instead of celebrated. It should only be remembered as the catalyst for a Holocaust. The vice mayor of Cambridge, with Italian forebears, said the change will make it a day he can be proud of, as opposed to a day when we get off school for someone who committed some of the worst atrocities and genocides in world history. Councilmember Nadim Mazin also chimed in that Columbus was a war criminal. This is another example of the Arab mind at work. As we saw last webcast, in Habash, the PA's religious affairs minister, fantasizing a past that never happened. Here, Columbus administered a genocide. It's very frightening that some Americans do not know how to think and are so uneducated. According to this Washington Times report, similar changes have been made in other U.S. cities, for example, Seattle, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C. American school kids are now being taught that Columbus was a genocidal war criminal. Lord have mercy.
נפש אהב הרחמן משוך עבדך אל רצונך ירוץ עבדך כמו אייל ישתחווה אל מול הדרך רב לו ידידותיך מנופת צוף וכל טעם
היי, היי נלדיי
הדור נאה זיו העולם נפשי חולת אהבתך
היי
ענה כל נא, הוי רפנה לה, בהראות לה, נועם זיווך. אז תתחזק ותתרפא, והייתה לה שמחת עולם.
נאי, נאי, נאי.
ועתיק, ועתיק. ימון הרחמך וחוסנה על בן אהובך
היי, 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 היי.
כי זה כמה נחשוף נחשפתי לראות מהרה בתפארת עוזך
אל
לחמדה, חמדה ליבי וחוסנה, ואל תתעלם. היגאלה, היגאלה נא, ופרוס חביבי עליי את סוכת, את סוכת שלומך. תאיר ארץ מכבודך, נגילה ונשמחה בך. מהר אהוב כיו המועד וחוננו כימי עולם. וחוננו כימי עולם.
Speaking before of a society, Western society, America, careening off the rails, we continue to put up with these women of the wall who come every month in Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, to cause trouble. This time, one of them tried to smuggle, and not for the first time, a Torah scroll into the women's section. This woman was arrested for a few hours and interrogated, I guess. I find this behavior so weird, first of all, so peculiar, because it's so crisscrossed with so much hypocrisy and illogic, intellectual ignorance and confusion. This woman, this Leslie Sachs, is seen in a photograph carrying a bundle, presumably this Torah. And I wonder what she's thinking about what she's doing. In her own mind, I'm sure she's protesting what she misunderstands as a male chauvinist tradition of denying women the right to the Torah. But as a reformed Jewess, there's no meaning to the Torah. There's no living by the rules and regulations of the Torah. What is the purpose of reading it in public when you don't believe in it and follow its statutes and ordinances? God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which is a bad translation. He gave him the Ten Utterances, the first three being less commandments in the common sense than intellectual, spiritual ideas and principles. The first real command, not just to think something, but to do something, is number four, the Sabbath. This coming Sunday is Shavuos. We will read the Ten Commandments. And there are two versions in the Torah with minor variations that are significant. The first one says, remember the Sabbath. The second one says, keep the Sabbath. When Reformed Jews neither remember nor keep the Sabbath ever. I never knew one who did. Reformed Jews are also those who conduct these so-called bar mitzvah ceremonials. And when they don't believe there's such a thing as a mitzvah, a bar mitzvah boy is a one who is now commanded to keep the ceremonial command, or keep the commandments. But they don't believe there's such a thing as commandments. These are all just recommendations. This boy is the man of the hour, and he's seen in their temples reading directly from the Torah. But in truth, he has no idea of what he's reading. It's all what Shakespeare had Hamlet call a dumb show, a pantomime. And precisely because it is such an empty, ridiculous, and ultimately dishonest exercise, most of those who endure the whole business leave the Jewish people, which they have been taught requires performing these empty, stupid rituals. I think Bibi is missing a golden opportunity. It's too bad he's not religious. If he were, he might ask these troublesome women to come for lunch one day to the Prime Minister's office, where he could tell them politely with a smile that their Reformed Judaism has become a cancer on the Jewish people. And if they really care about the future of this people, they must throw some cold water on their faces, wake up, smell the coffee, look around, and ask which stream of Judaism is creating the coming generations, and they'll discover it's not theirs. Okay, that's it for this week with another horror to put in our history books. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath and after Shavuos on Sunday, so there'll be no webcast then. Until then, Shabbat Shalom, v'chag Sameach. Until next Tuesday, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.